Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Hi, I'm Charlie Coyle. I don't read so good. Oops.
Dude, are you implying that Charlie Coyle left Boston University because he doesn't know how to read? Are you saying he's the Dexter Manley of hockey?
Yes.
That's exactly what you're saying.
There's a reason why the Sharks traded him. It wasn't because of a lack of talent. It was because...
A lack of reading?
Doug Wilson went into the interview room with him and he caught him listening to Hooked on Phonics. And that's the end. Now, dude, this is not fair. And the Minnesota Wild went out of the way. We got to go back. Let's go back. Let's set the story here. Now, Charlie Coyle, for those people who don't know, traded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the Brent Burns package.
Was a highly touted Sharks prospect, now a highly touted Minnesota Wild prospect.
He's made the United States World Junior team. And in the middle of the season, he has left Boston University's hockey team. He's their second leading scorer. First leading scorer, Sharks prospect Matt Nieto.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just saying.
He left Boston University to go play in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reported because of academic difficulties. Now, I know being a theater major that
yeah.
I had a lot of the basketball players in many of my classes. And those classes weren't that difficult. My math class was called Nature of Math, and we folded shapes. I got a B, all right?
Was Steve Nash in that class?
No.
Oh.
But I was a year behind him.
Oh, okay.
But I bet he was at some point.
He took it after you, probably.
So I can't imagine that Charlie Coyle is taking the most rigorous class load known to man, but Minnesota's gone out of the way to say that's not why he left. It was because he wanted, you know, change of scenery or whatever.
Right.
Now, William Wren did the same thing last year, and that's a Sharks
true.
Prospect, but he clearly did it because he wasn't getting playing time
that's right.
at the University of Denver. This is a little different.
Right. This does because he don't read so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So,
dude, there's so many things, great things to talk about. There's plenty of pop culture things to talk about. We both saw the Homeland season finale.
Oh, my God, dude.
For which we could probably fill a whole podcasting hour, but of course we won't because this is ostensibly a Sharks podcast.
It's a big, big night. Dexter finale, Homeland finale, but we digress, dude.
Boardwalk Empire last week, and also the announcement this week of Howard Stern on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of TV news this week.
Made our pop culture side very happy.
Yes, that's right. And for those of you who've been listening to us for a long time, Doug and I are both Stern fans, and you've probably caught several Stern references sort of sprinkled throughout the history of this podcast.
He is the king of all media.
He certainly is, and we are both listeners of his.
How about the kings of hockey, the San Jose Sharks? Points in four straight games, dude.
Woo-hoo.
Ever since we did the podcast, another Woe Is Me edition,
yeah.
They've rattled off points in four straight. Now, we might not be especially thrilled with how the points have come to pass,
right?
But here we are again, sitting on top of the Pacific Division. Now, the Sharks are the third seed,
right?
With still a couple games in hand. And, dude, what do you make of this week?
Well, first of all, I'd say that the Avs and the Oilers, as we stand today, are the 11th and 12th best teams in the West.
Right.
So it's not like we're exactly taking out the Penguins and Detroit here or Chicago. Chicago, actually, we did get a point. They're the second best team in the West. So we got a point by managed to cough up that game.
But that's a game that they blew.
That's a game that they blew.
They should have had just 2 points outright there.
Yes.
And they blew it in the final 2 minutes.
Yes, that's true. But they probably should have lost against the Avs the second time, and they came back and won that game. So that was a good thing, which I believe put Adrian Dater into fits reading his tweets, which, you know, is always amusing to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of things to talk about. Sharks, there's lots of NHL news. Where to start? I guess we'll start with the Sharks. The Sharks actually managed to score two power play goals this week. Can you imagine?
Huzzah!
But they gave up a shorty.
Yeah.
So they're really only plus one on the power play this week. So I guess, you know, I guess we'll take the good news in small doses.
I guess
at this point. And I think they are back into the cellar for
PK. They're 29th. Toronto has moved to the basement.
We're not the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not the worst. It's by like a tenth of a percent or something. Though, but hey, what are you going to say, dude? They were perfect against the Oilers on the PK. Perfect 2-for-2.
And so, they have a decent power.
Yeah,
play?
They were in the top half of the league for sure.
Yeah.
So that team, they have some holes, but they're going to be really good.
Dude. Yeah, they're sort of, I see the same sort of thing as Chicago a couple years ago. I remember I was having this conversation a couple years ago about, would you rather be the Sharks or would you rather be Chicago? And of course, this was a couple years before Chicago won the Cup. And when you see their second line of Eberle, Hall, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, wow, right? Yeah. High first-round draft picks all. Clearly, the strategy was to make the Oilers as bad as possible for as long as possible, and then eventually the first-round draft picks will lift them up by the bootstraps, and it seems the lifting has begun.
Yeah, they're really a solid defensive prospect away from being... Mm-hmm. Where Chicago was a few years ago.
Yes.
You know, they don't have, at least from what I can see, their Duncan Keith. They're missing that player. But maybe they'll trade one of their young forwards to make it happen. Or maybe they'll be able to turn Ryan Smith or Sean Horkoff into that guy.
Or even Sam Gagner.
At some point, you know.
Or Alex Hemsky.
Or they may finish in the bottom five again. They've been hot and cold. They're real cold right now. And maybe it's better for them. It definitely is better for them to finish in the bottom five and try and get their Adam Larson, you know, to anchor that blue line. And the Oilers, they're going to be fun to watch in the new alignment of the NHL, but we'll see them several more times.
Did we talk about that yet? The alignment?
No. we somehow missed that, dude.
Which is funny because... In all honesty, that's probably the biggest news, the biggest NHL news since the lockout.
Well, let's talk about it right now.
So, okay, so I put up a fantastic blog post about it. But the fact is that there's going to be a radical NHL realignment next year. Instead of having six five-team divisions, there's going to be four conferences. Two 17 conferences and two 8-team conferences. The Sharks will be in a Western, based on geography, essentially. I guess you could say that this was sort of exacerbated by two things. One is the movement of Atlanta to Winnipeg, which this year they're still in the East, which creates all sorts of travel problems. And frankly, the other issue, I believe, is Mike Ilitch, who is one of the more powerful owners of the NHL in the NHL. He's the owner of the Detroit Red Wings. He felt for a long time, I think, that they've been getting the shaft travel wise because they have travel west in first round and all this kind of stuff. And the fact that they've won, you know, four cups in the last 15 years.
It's really obviously affected their play.
Obviously terrible on them. So they're moving to sort of a more Midwest type conference, and the Sharks will be in a different conference. With the other California teams and Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Colorado. So that's going to be an 8-team conference. And now there's going to be a home and home with every team. So we're going to see every team in San Jose every year. So that's nice. But the games that we give up are the games against the more Midwestern teams. So we'll be only playing Detroit twice now a year instead of four times.
I'll miss that.
And Chicago twice instead of four times.
Yeah, I'll miss that too. You know?
Me too.
I think... that those were two rivalries that the NHL have now pushed to the back burner as just not being as important, which I can understand, you know, but I will miss that. I think it's going to impact how those two teams feel about each other.
Right. I mean, the Sharks can't really build a rivalry today with Boston, even though we play them twice this year. That's just not really going to happen. It's just not possible unless you have a long streak of basically, you know, Stanley Cup finals appearances against each other and you beat each other up. So really the only way you can build playoff rivalries with any team other than the Western teams would be in the playoffs. So.
Right. And now the way this is set up, dude, you're really looking to set up rivalries against the teams in your conference, because not only do you play them the majority of times during the regular season, but am I right that how the playoffs are structured, you will see a team in your own conference in the first two rounds guaranteed?
That's exactly right. So just to correct you there, actually the majority of games aren't going to be interconference games, just because you did say majority, so I just want to correct you on that. I think like 38 games are going to be in your own conference.
Well, I guess what I meant is the teams that you would see.
The plurality.
Right. You would see Anaheim six times, Calgary six times, Colorado six times, the other teams you see twice. That's what I said. Thanks for correcting me. Nature of math, Steve Nash.
That's why I'm here on the podcast.
I'm Charlie Coyle. I don't speak so good. And now I'm in Quebec.
One of the things that I really like about the new alignment, I do think it'll be cool to see some of these teams, and I think it's interesting, is I really think that I love the final four aspect of the playoffs, is that there's going to be a lot of rivalry in your conference, and then once you get out of your conference and you're in the final four, hopefully that's going to be seen as a big accomplishment. And so the last two rounds of the playoffs, I think, will become much bigger, because right now it's like the conference finals. I mean, people out of hockey probably don't really see the conference finals as anything special. But if you think about college basketball, the Final Four is a big deal. The Frozen Four is a big deal. And I think there's an opportunity here for the league to market that well. And maybe we might get a little bit more excitement for hockey playoffs, because frankly, all playoff hockey is great. And if we can get, a lot of people, more casual fans, to watch two rounds of hockey, I think that'll only help the sport as a whole.
Yeah, you could potentially see Sharks, Kings, back-to-back-to-back years in the playoffs. So then you're playing that team 12 times, 13 times, pretty much guaranteed. Certain bad blood, there early. And then when you get late, my question for you is, right now, that format, while it is the Final Four, is not settled, as far as I know, in terms of it being East-East, West-West, or reseeded, and you could have a potential... Red Wing Sharks Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, yes, you could.
So which way do you think they'll go with this, dude? And two parts. Which way do you think they'll go, and which way do you hope they go with this?
Well, actually, for me, I think they agree. I think they're going to go with the reseeding for one big reason, is because that creates a lot of matchups in the East. You could have two Eastern teams play each other. You could have Toronto and Pittsburgh play in the Stanley Cup final. And I think that particular possibility is too tantalizing for the league to pass that up. If they group the two Eastern teams together and they said you can never have Toronto and Pittsburgh or Toronto and Washington in the Stanley Cup final, it would always be Toronto and Detroit, Toronto and the Sharks, Toronto and Vancouver, although Toronto and Vancouver would be great. I think the league would just love that too much. I think there will be a reseeding, and that's what I would prefer as well, because I think Sharks Red Wings Stanley Cup final would be freaking awesome.
Right. Yeah. That would be cool. I'm hoping for that too. I think that would make it really interesting and kind of break up some of the monotony of the playoffs that has happened over the last few years. But I'm looking forward to this, dude. At first, I wasn't too sure, but I'm on board. I'm ready. I'm ready for change. This is a year of change. This is a year of family for me.
Yes, dude.
And it's a year of playoff change. And it's also the year of Antero Nidamaki's AHL rehab.
I was reading Sharks page, and that's the best place I know of to get some good recaps. I'm sure a local Worcester paper would also work, but I read Sharks page anyway, and it's nice to have a one-stop shop there. But I think that was his AHL debut.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yes. That's what it said. So he must have gone straight from the Finnish league to the NHL.
Ah, gosh, dude. I don't.
Are you going Matt D'Agostini this?
I don't think that's correct.
Dude. You're going to go check. Dude, we should talk about other aspects of the games, throughout. I mean, injuries seem to be sort of catching up. Douglas Murray was in the booth for one of the games.
That was funny, actually, to hear his...
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. Yeah,
dude, I hate to do this to you.
Am I wrong? I'm right.
He's played over 100 AHL games.
Oh, so it was a Worcester Sharks debut.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to blame...
But he did play over 100 games for the Philadelphia Phantoms.
Okay, I'm going to blame Sharks page for that. I think they said AHL debut.
Their fault.
I'm totally their fault. Thanks for misleading me, Sharks page.
Won 21 AHL playoff games doesn't mean anything.
I think Matt D'Agostini started for the Worcester Sharks in goal last year in the playoffs. Okay.
Well, let's talk about Nitti's rehab right now.
Yeah.
So far, two games played today. Mm-hmm. They lost today, but he played well by the reports. And the Sharks have an impending decision. Or impending? Pending. Impending.
Right. Either one.
Charlie Coyle. Dude, what are they going to do? Which guy are they going to keep?
There's a major jam up with goalies right now, right?
Right.
I mean, we got three goals. We got Harry Sateri, healthy scratch at Worcester, I believe.
That can't keep happening.
Tyson Sexsmith seems to have grabbed the starting job when Nidamaki is not in. And we have, who's at the ECHL right now?
Thomas Heemskirk
is in the ECHL. So there's a lot of goalies in the Shark system at the moment. I think I might go to an email here. Because I think someone proposed a crazy trade.
I like it.
Which I think requires the music. Because I haven't... Where is crazy trade? Oh, here it is.
I'm going off the rails on a
crazy trade.
All right. So here's the email from Marcus. Let's see. He is proposing Sammy Paulson for Antero Nidamaki or Thomas Greiss. Paulson's offensive numbers aren't incredible, but he's a solid depth forward who can make an impact on the penalty kill, potentially help lighten the load of some of the top forwards in killing situations. With Mason underwhelming once again, the Blue Jackets could really use an upgrade in goaltending depth. Greiss has played pretty well this year, and if Nidamaki does the same, the Blue Jackets have options. The Sharks have cap space to pull off both deals, but a swap for Nidamaki would leave them with the greatest amount of cap space. What do you guys think of this deal? Would Paulson help out our PK third line, or do the Sharks need a guy with more offensive pop? And is Greiss or Nidamaki too much to give up? Good questions. Marcus, thank you. Let's see. You're looking up. I can see Sammy Paulson's stats on your iPad right now, but I'm going to talk about if I would do this trade. Am I crazy for thinking that this might not be a bad idea? Is this crazy of me?
No, I think you're not crazy to think it's not a bad idea. I think you're crazy that you think that's the price tag.
You think it will be less, a lot less, than a goalie like that? Is that what you mean?
Oh, no. I think the price more for Sammy Paulson would be more.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think we're overvaluing Nidamaki, who has played zero NHL games this year, mm-hmm, and has played two AHL games, and he played, I don't know, 20 NHL games last year, mm-hmm, maybe. And then Greiss,
right,
who
is unproven.
Is unproven.
Some good starts this year, but
and
unproven.
And they're going to trade, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure where Paulson figures in their overall scheme, but he's only 34 years old. A 34-year-old third-line player who was once one of the best third-line centers in the game for a C-level goalie?
Yeah, that's a good point. No. So you're saying you'd do it, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I trade them both, dude. we can't decide between Nidamaki or Greiss. You can have them both. Take them both. You don't have to pick.
Yeah, okay.
Just give us back Paulson. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you play Hanzus on the wing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, dude, I would love to see Sammy Paulson in teal. I think that would be a great move. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was traded at some point,
mm-hmm,
you know, this year, just because it makes sense. But one, I don't think the Sharks are looking for a third line center. I think Doug Wilson really does believe that Hanzus is the answer there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And a word about Hanzus. I think someone commented maybe on the blog, I don't have an email here, or maybe it was a tweet. They said, they were questioning our judgment on putting Michael Hanzus as one of the more disappointing, or maybe the most disappointing player. Did I pick Michael Hanzus?
No, I
or
did.
You did. So defend yourself, dude. How dare you, sir? No, actually, I was going to defend your pick because, frankly, and he said, you know, he's been able to set up Jamie McGinn a bunch of times and all this kind of thing. And
that's true.
What would you say to that?
I would say that's not why he's here.
That's exactly what I would say.
that I believe that Torrey Mitchell could have done that too, you know, and Hanzus' even strength has been very good, mm-hmm, you know, and offensively
better than expected.
Has been better than expected, yes. Solid. has been a good contributor, but that's not my understanding of why he was brought here. He was brought here to help on the penalty kill, and he has not. He
right.
hasn't.
If you trade for Steven Stamkos and he becomes the greatest faceoff man since Joel Otto, are you happy?
No. And then he has 40 points.
Right. And he has 40 points, but he's the greatest faceoff and penalty killer in the NHL has ever seen. Are you happy?
Disappointed.
Disappointed. You are not happy. So this is, it's nice to see Hanzus do something we didn't expect, but it's not nice to see him not do something that we did expect.
So let's turn this into another question that was posted to us on Twitter that neither of us responded to. And I'm glad we didn't because we can talk about it on the podcast.
Okay.
Someone tweeted at us and several other Sharks blogs saying of the impending, I'm using the word again.
Right.
And I hope not incorrectly, Charlie Coyle, Matt D'Agostini. But if Carolina has a fire sale, we're having a fire sale. What's that from, dude?
I'm on fire. No, I'm on fire. Mayday. I'm on fire. Dude. If you could get that reference, listeners, email us because that might deserve some sort
both of those references. Okay. Both of them. We have two different ones.
Okay, good.
Carolina Hurricanes are going to start getting rid of some players, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So someone asked, who would we want off of their roster? Now, I'm assuming someone like Jeff Skinner is not available. I mean, there's no way they're.
I did actually respond to that tweet, and I said Skinner.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
come on.
I'd be a smartass.
Okay, Jeff Skinner's not available.
Of course not.
Sutter, you know, Jamie McBain.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't available. So of their veteran players, and Eric Staal, not available.
No.
Okay, so of their veteran players, who do you want?
Pass.
Pass? Completely?
I don't know,
that's
dude.
That's garbage.
I'm just not that excited about the Carolina Hurricanes right now. I don't really think they have, you know, a whole lot to offer, but I'm going to pull open their roster just to make sure there's not someone Tim Gleason.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Brian Boucher. Yeah. Andreas Nodal. No, thank you. We should have talked about the Cabrillet trade, but Anthony
Stewart. We
still
got time.
Brandon. I'm not that excited about anybody here, except of course for Derek Jocelyn. That guy's grade A.
So are you telling me you wouldn't want Tuomo Ruotu? Seriously? For the third line? You don't want him?
Not that excited.
Really?
No.
Dude, see,
Jarkko Ruotu's the Ruotu I want. I want the biter. Jarkko Ruotu.
I would definitely want Tuomo Ruotu. I'd be interested in Juuse Jokinen. Mm-hmm. I think that both of those would be serviceable third line players, but maybe not necessarily the answer. You know, one of their best defensive players on that team is actually a player named Patrick Dwyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is not someone I'm especially familiar with, but his penalty kill numbers are especially solid. So maybe that's what we need, is a 5'11 midget running around killing some penalties.
Dude, I'm 5'11.
Exactly.
And I'm taller than you.
I know. But I don't pretend to play hockey.
Yeah, I do.
Dude, nothing super exciting on there.
Nothing
roster,
super exciting, okay, dude. So but
that was a couple
that does bring up the great trade for Montreal this week. They traded for Thomas Cabrillet.
Right.
And they traded Jaroslav Spacek, who is now on the Carolina Hurricanes. And it was funny because Puck Daddy had a post about it with a post but from a Montreal beat writer saying how bad Thomas Cabrillet is and how no one wants him. And it was hilarious because then they trade for him 2 months later. So I found that extremely funny. And Thomas Cabrillet has been disappointing, would be to put it mildly, for the Carolina Hurricanes.
He's thriving under Cunningworth in Montreal. So now they fire Jacques Martin.
Right.
But probably the most interesting coaching situation going on in the league is going to be the resurgence of the Turtle in L.A. Daryl Sutter will
back.
Be back, and it's possible his first game, dude, could be at the Tank on Friday.
Is that right?
It could be.
No, they already announced it.
Right, but he's got some immigration issues. Like, I'm not sure when he's going to be behind the bench. Anyways, one of
so
his first games.
He's got to find a coyote, come over the border. He's going to go through the desert. He's going to fly to Mexico and then crawl through the desert.
One of his first games will be at the Tank, which should be fun.
Yeah.
Dude, what do you think Daryl Sutter's going to do for the Kings?
Boo!
Nothing!
I was going to boo him. you know, I don't know. I saw a post, another post on Puck Daddy about how the fact is he is somewhat responsible for the insurgence or resurgence of the Calgary Flames with Jerome Iginla, you know, with it. You know, a few years back, and that was...
Well, they made the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's right, and it was largely his doing. So to call Daryl Sutter a total piker, I think, is going a bit too far. I wouldn't say he's been my favorite Sharks coach. So for that reason, I wish him, you know, none of the luck in the world with the right. LA Kings.
Yeah.
So I think one way they put it is they say some coaches use the carrot and the stick, and Daryl Sutter has never given out a carrot in his entire life, which I thought was a great quote.
So, how I could see this being a huge disaster with some of the big babies on that team.
That's true. You Dustin know? Penner plus Daryl Sutter equals fun.
But even Drew Doughty. I mean, you know, Drew Doughty is
true.
Having a terrible year. He held out. He was being kind of a baby. And now Daryl Sutter's coming in. I mean, how's that going to go?
He's not exactly going to be coddled, let's put it that way.
And Drew Doughty sort of loves to be freewheeling and dealing, and that's not how it works with Daryl Sutter.
That's true.
You know, that's not how it works. You know, suddenly that fantasy trade we made to get Drew Doughty is looking even worse in the moment, because that might not be so good. The point production of some of their top players like Kopitar, it's going to go down. You look at some of the like the Sharks, like Owen Nolan. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't. Those were the times when the Sharks' top scorers were like in the 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, like Marlowe, Nolan. They'd be like in the 60s, the 50s. Danfus. No one was in the 80s, 90s, 100 points like Joe Thornton. I mean, that was the Sharks didn't get that kind of production. It was much more of a team effort and not star oriented and. I don't think this is going to help the Kings this year, but I think it will. I mean, Daryl Sutter, for every full season he coached, he made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a fact. So, wait, watch. I probably got it wrong.
Way to go, dude.
I'm pretty sure that's a fact.
Okay, yes.
I'm 99% sure.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, God, there's a lot of good news here in the NHL this year. There's the Dave Bolin thing. We could talk about that.
What was that?
He called the city.
Oh, that's right.
He called the city and sisters. You know, which is a pretty misogynistic comment, yet funny, because it's not, you know, all that thoughtful, but it is a little funny. And then Alain Vigneault called him ugly, which I thought was great. He said he had a face only his mother could love, which I thought was classic.
Let's talk about something that's not funny yet. But could be if Hadlat plays on Wednesday. And that was him falling over the boards.
Dude, I got to tell you, though.
And eating it. Dude, not funny right now because he's walking with a cane.
Dude, that, I mean, to me, I mean, it was funny to hear that he hurt himself for a line change. But I saw that replay. And I'm not a doctor, although I play one on the podcast. It looks bad to me. That looks ACL, MCL bad to me. Mm-hmm. That's what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And let's say that Martin Havlat hasn't exactly been, you know, Lou Ferrigno of the league here the past few years. I mean, he's missed some serious time for various injuries, though he doesn't have any knee history. But when I saw that and I saw the way his knee sort of twisted,
right,
doesn't look good to me. I just hope, you know, I mean, you know, I can't diagnose him from here, but...
Yeah. Well, we've seen some weird stuff. Remember Dan Boyle basically split like a wishbone last year, and then he got up and played the next shift, so...
That's true.
You never know. Hearing that he walked out of there, even was with a cane, made me feel a little bit better, but...
You're right. If that was ACL, MCL, he would have been on crutches. Like, if they thought he had really completely busted his thing to bits.
So, no news today.
Right. We won't get anything until tomorrow.
You probably. Know, maybe some news tomorrow, but obviously they're going to be bringing someone up. So who do you bring up to take Havlat's spot on the third line?
Well, I guess, was Desjardins and McLaren in the past game?
I don't know. I mean, they don't have to bring someone up. They did send Matt Irwin back down. Our prediction of him playing went for naught.
Yeah, oops.
But I can't imagine they're not going to bring up somebody. I'm going to guess Tommy Wingles returns.
Yeah.
He's on a hot streak right now in Worcester. He's leading the team in goals. I think he has 11 or 12. He has a 6 or 7 game point streak. So he's a little bit of a better fit on the third line than Ben Ferrio. So I'm going to say that Tommy Wingles might get the call here and that he'll play. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll play him on that line, dude.
All right, dude, I got two more things. I'm going to do the funny thing first. So don't read this, dude.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a... this is from Aaron Portsline. And actually, this came out like a month ago. And I'm shocked that I haven't seen this until now. Aaron Portsline is the beat writer for who, dude? You know.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
That's exactly right.
So sad.
And he says... Okay, true story about Filatov was just given clearance to share. One of his many previous coaches calls him into the room with the video guy for one-on-one film work to show him instance where they want him to crash the net and get to rebounds and create scoring chances. After four or five clips, Filatov steps back from the monitor, looks at the coaches, and says flatly, "Philly, don't do rebounds." Now that's a story. Oh man, Philly, don't do rebounds. That's the best. And then a comment from the article is that looks like Philly, don't do NHL. I think is the best thing to say to that. But Philly, don't do rebounds. I hope that skyrockets into the modern lexicon of hockey, because that is a hilarious story. And I hope it's true.
What a bust that guy's turned out to
be.
Wow. A huge, colossal disaster.
Yeah, way to draft him in our fantasy league, dude.
Did we? We did.
Didn't we?
I think in the last round or
something?
He's not on the team anymore, dude.
Okay.
Speaking of busts, we have a little Kyle Turris trade this week, too. Kyle Turris to Ottawa, and it looks like Phoenix made out like robbers here, getting David Rundblad in return and a second-round pick.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet return to see Rundblad and Ekman-Larsson playing together. That's looking good for Phoenix, for a guy who clearly didn't want to be there. So nice job. Hey, Maloney stuck to his guns.
Yep.
So good work, I suppose, for him, dude.
Well, dude, this week we have home versus Tampa Bay
and then sucks.
And then home versus LA, as you
sucks.
Said. So two good games. We're going to have fun there.
Tampa Bay sucks.
Yeah,
they're playing very poorly.
If the Sharks had continued to lose, I would say it would have been the battle of the two most disappointing teams in the NHL. But maybe the Sharks are a little bit out of the cellar on that score.
It's that game should be an easy win for the Sharks. I'm going to be disappointed if they don't win convincingly.
Everybody watch for the 1-3-1. So go to YouTube and watch that 1-3-1 clip versus the Flyers, and then we can watch for it on Wednesday.
The Kings game is going to be a battle. You know, Daryl Sutter is going to have them up for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's going to be a real battle. Dude, I just, before we go,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say, was on my mind on the way over here,
mm-hmm.
that the window of opportunity, as we've been talking about on this podcast for 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
Is so gaping wide open, than more open than ever, dude.
You think?
I think it's more open than ever. When I look at the Western Conference, and I see, okay, you've got Minnesota, pretender. Okay, Chicago, they can score, but their goalie situation is sad.
Yeah.
And their defense is not as good, and they're going to be exposed for that. And we've played them well this year. We've played them well. Detroit, not scared. Not scared of them.
Well, we have beat them.
St. Louis, going to be tough to play. You know, they're a tough team, but we're better than them, dude.
Yeah.
Vancouver, still good.
Yeah.
But not as good as they were last year. They're not as good. Yeah. And they've got some distractions right now,
mm-hmm.
with Luongo and Schneider. Nashville is Nashville, and Dallas is Dallas, dude.
Right.
Okay? And LA's not even in the picture. So the Sharks must, in the next few weeks, dude, they need to pull away from their competition in the Pacific Division. Don't even give the Kings a chance.
Right.
To get back in this, dude.
I agree.
They have to pull away. They can't hang around, dude. If they don't, right now they're deadlocked with Dallas at the top. Phoenix is 2 points behind, and the Kings are five. And the Ducks are not even in the same atmosphere.
The Ducks are last in the league in
the
points.
Ducks are,
oh no, they're 1 point out of last, Columbus being the worst.
Yeah, they're
so
they're
Anaheim miserable. Is gone.
They're miserable.
They're dead.
But the Sharks have to find a way to pull away, dude. I want to see them 10 points up in the Pacific Division by the end of January. I want them to be 10 points up.
See, I'm not that convinced that LA is in deep trouble. I think that they could be righted by Daryl Sutter. I hope it doesn't happen. I believe that your reasons why that it wouldn't happen are perfectly valid, but you know, he's a decent enough coach.
He's a good coach, but you look at what LA's problem is, dude. Look quickly, scan their numbers. What's their problem?
Scoring.
They can't score. That's not Daryl Sutter's thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not his thing.
They've scored the least number of goals in the league. In the division.
They're solid. Wait, in the defensively.
League? Could it be in the league? No, yeah. They're tied with the Islanders for last. Is that right?
Right. And the right. Islanders have played two fewer games. Yeah. So they're the worst. They're the worst offensive team in the league. I can't believe we're even saying that about the LA Kings. So sure, they could snap out of it any time. But I don't think Daryl Sutter's going to fix that magically. I don't think he's going to be able to fix the Kings this year. You know?
Hope you're right.
I think that they'll be about a 500 team the rest of the way. They might squeak into the playoffs, but next year's the year with a full year of Daryl Sutter. I think that they'll be much better, but we'll find out on Friday. We'll see if they look much different, dude. They'll play tough. Yeah, that's it, dude. I've got so many other things I want to talk about.
Yeah, me too. 24/7. Did you watch it?
No,
dude. It's good. You got to watch that HBO, right?
Sharks last in the NHL in hits by 50.
Wow.
Okay, like 50 between them and Buffalo, which is 29th. Not 50 between them and the first place team, dude. The first place team, they're 300 hits behind them. Oh, the Sharks are the wimpiest team in the league, dude. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, that is
embarrassing. Why?
I don't know.
Dude.
One thing that occurred to me, and this is a terrible high-flying theory that belongs at the very end of a podcast.
Yes.
It seems like there's a bit of what I'm now calling Joe Thornton syndrome, which is Joe can thread these passes to everyone. And it seems like a lot of the other players on the team have become infected with that. And instead of, you know, playing north-south, you know, which is, you know, a cliche in hockey, and just sort of dragging it to the net, which is what Brad Winchester seems to do, you see guys like Torrey Mitchell, Michael Hanzus, Logan Couture, Ryan Clough, like trying to thread these crazy passes through. And I wonder if that's sort of, you know, this is just, like I said, a half-baked theory, but I've seen a lot more ill-advised passes this year than I seem to remember. And maybe just because they've been struggling lately, I see it more. But it's weird because we have a lot of big guys on this team. You know, it's not like it's a small
team. One of the biggest teams in the NHL.
One of the biggest teams in the NHL. And yet, it seems like the Sharks are choosing to look and try and find some amazing pass as opposed to just like, you know, go 30 miles an hour into Hovland and hope the puck goes in, which is not what's been happening. That being said, I thought some of the goals in the Oilers game were just fantastic. I mean, the first Sharks goal, the 2-on-0, right, was awesome.
Yeah.
The Everly goal was awesome. I mean, all the goals in that game were awesome, but I think the Sharks sort of need more, you know, individual effort type goals. There's some garbage rebounds that happen, but it seems like a lot of those happen just because someone sort of throws it from the point and then everybody sort of cleans up. I'd rather see more, you know,
Sanho don't do rebounds.
Philly don't do rebounds. I'd rather see some more hard-nosed play getting the puck to the net as opposed to just flipping it there and then following.
Yeah. Me too.
And I think, you know, that's you're right. I mean, that is kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I don't think that the Sharks are being taken advantage of physically, but I bet, you know, teams, I mean, I'm sure every team knows that.
Yeah.
And they're doing certain things to take advantage of that situation.
Would you be surprised if I told you the Sharks were in the top 20 in the league in block shots?
I would think that they would be in the top
10. How about 20? Top 10?
It's not that surprising.
Yeah, they are. How about second in the league in block shots at home?
Wow. Yeah.
That surprised me.
Okay.
That surprised me a lot, actually. So they are blocking shots. I you can see I got a little stab happy today.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks are second in the NHL in giveaways.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I saw a bunch of egregious ones against the Edmonton.
Now, last year, they make the conference finals. They're fourth in league in giveaways. So that's not that off the mark. You don't have to be the most physical team in the league. I mean, you'd probably be surprised if I told you last year that Boston and Vancouver were 20th and 21st in hits.
Yeah, that was.
And they're both pretty physical teams.
Sure.
You don't have to rack up those, you know, meaningless stats like Clutterbuck, right?
Right.
But you do have to hit someone sometimes, and it is noticeable that they just kind of lay in soft. And they need to snap out of it, dude. Pull away. Noticeably, Dan Boyle has snapped out of it, dude. Have you noticed that?
Just that extra inch off his stick, right? You heard that story?
I love that, yeah.
So, cool. I hope so. Yeah, he's 5 points in his last four games or something?
Yeah, 10 games before that, he was a minus five. 1 point. Now in his last four games, he's got 4 points or something like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's playing well. Let's hope the rest of the team can kind of snowball here, dude. We got one more episode before Christmas.
Yep.
And I want to be talking about two wins when we talk before Christmas, dude.
Dude, I hope
so.
I
want to talk about 2 wins, 4 points. We're pulling away, dude. We're pulling away.
Okay, dude. We're pulling away. Talk to you then.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.